My beloved people, I first of all this morning wish to remind you that after Mass this morning, there's a little picnic outside, and some of you might have forgotten to bring something to eat, and you might be embarrassed as to whether you should attend or not. So I speak for those who did bring something to eat, and I say, don't you dare leave. You come and enjoy it with the rest of them. I ask you also to pray for the sick, as mentioned in our bulletin today. Again, I remind you of last week's reading, a narrative in the bulletin, and I encourage you to read it more than once, as I also encourage you to read today's bulletin more than once. Slowly, 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 but more than once. Many times. You've got to get from in between the words what is being said to you in these bulletins. It's serious matter, and we have got to come to understand we have got to come to understand what the science, the mystery of spirit of the spiritual life is. Many there are who speak of the spiritual life, but they simply do not grasp the science of the spiritual life. They can tell you all of the length and the breadth and the dimensions of the spiritual life, but they can't tell what the spiritual life is. They can't tell you how, the how of the spiritual life. During this past week, I have had the opportunity to speak to various people, some of them priests from different parts of the country. And there seems to be an increase in the attendance of people at the traditional masses, the so-called Latin masses, the so-called old masses. And this is the observation made by these people, these priests, that amongst so many of these, they come to the traditional chapels for the wrong reasons. Of course, they can't all be totally blamed, but they come for the wrong reasons. During this past week, we had some visitors. Seminarians, I'll call them seminarians and leave it at that. Good people, good young men. And by their questions and by their observations, it was ever so plain to see that they had no instruction, absolutely none. Now these are the ones that are to go out later and teach. And we ask the never-ending question, how can you give what you don't have? If I have no eggs in the basket, it's just plain common sense that I can't give you any eggs. Is that logic? Or am I the one that is not thinking straight? This morning, I had a few minutes time before Mass, and I had the local Catholic paper of the local diocese, One Voice. And on the front page, there was a rather good article. It was a report on what the Roman officials elsewhere, guess what? They are concerned. Can you believe this? they are concerned about the lack of understanding. Would you believe what I'm about to say? They are worried about the lack of understanding and reverence toward the Eucharist. Could you believe this? These men, after 35 years, have just looked up into heaven and they just saw the moon for the first time. Remarkable, isn't it? They were the ones who 35 years, and they're using the word catechesis again, you know? They were the ones 35 years ago spoke of catechesis. The priests, the bishops, not the people. The priests were the ones that moved the tabernacle. The priests were the ones that put the Eucharist in every hootenanny person that could be thought of to distribute the Eucharist, and some of them are about as fit and ready to distribute the Eucharist, and I don't downgrade the truck drivers, because when you drive trucks, you dress appropriately. But some of the people that distribute the Holy Sacred Eucharist look like truck drivers when they're giving it out. Now, all of a sudden, they're talking about bringing the tabernacle back, I guess from out of the broom closet, where they put it, and put it back in the center place in the church. Isn't that something? You know, they were the ones that put the fox in the hen house. Now they've gone back into the hen house to count their hens. And they are surprised that most of the hens are gone. But is it the fox's fault? Oh, no, 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 no. It's the hen's fault. My beloved people, they are saying the people need to be catechized concerning the Eucharist. True. But that's not where it starts. And as I've told you many times before, everything I say is on tape, and it can be brought to any agency you wish. The catechesis, if you want to use that word, does not begin at the level of the people. It begins at the level of the priests and of the bishops. Like it or not. The people were not the ones that moved the tabernacle. Priests moved it. And now they worry about sacrilege. And all you have to do is look at the rock festivals that take place when high potentates visit, and look at how the Eucharist is handled there. We give more reverence to vanilla wafers. And we know it. until we can bring back belief on the level of the priesthood with reference to the Eucharist, it is idle to speak to the laity. Idle, because it is the priest who is supposed to bring down God. And if the priest does not believe that this is happening, what is it that he gives the people when today they stretch out their hands? Anybody, believers and non-believers alike, stretch out their hands, they are given whatever it is that they are supposed to be given. We are putting the axe to the wrong place. Our priests have to be catechized. And they, in our seminaries, with fewer left, there has to be a clean house performed there. Get rid of the garbage. And I use that word advisedly. Get rid of the garbage. These are strong words, and I know it. But we're talking about a strong subject, I think. The Eucharist is the very centerpiece of all that we are as Catholic. But today, and this unfortunately is also true of the so-called traditionalist people, we are so enamored of the non-essential symbols that we forgot all about the centerpiece around which all symbols need to be collected. So I preach this to you, not that you should go down, out and burst open the doors, but by your example of reverence and your little word, a little word, not a sermon, not an exposition or expose or whatever you want to call it, not a narrative, a little word. And when the name of Jesus, for example, is mentioned, that we bow our heads, we drop a holy card on the floor, pick it up, we kiss it. We pass in front of the church where we hope the Blessed Sacrament is present, and we make the sign of the cross. I remember in days gone by, there's a church in town. Of course, I'm more familiar with this town than I am with any others, because I've been here for the last part of the millennium. And I remember when farmers, in a hurry, dirty perhaps, good dirt, honest dirt, would pass in front of the church in town. They didn't want to go into church, they didn't have time. But they knelt on the pavement. And the whole world would see this. They knelt on the pavement and made their visit. And I'm not talking about weird-looking people. I'm talking about honest-looking people, men, not just old crippled ladies or crippled old men, but youngish people who had the courage to kneel on the pavement outside, on the curbstone, and make a visit and a reverence to their Lord who was in the tabernacle. This is Catholicity. This is Catholic experience that I try to tell you about. Today we go to the restaurants. The meal is served. How many of us make the sign of the cross and say that grace before meals in the presence of all? How many of us? These are the little, if I can use the word, the little witnesses that tell those around us there's something solid with these people. I hear tell. I hear tell that there is talk, pretty strong talk in high places, preparing for what might be called Vatican Council number 3. We've gotten past Vatican Council number 2. My beloved people, on tape, the few that were not swept away by the flood of Vatican Council II will undoubtedly be swept away by Vatican Council III. Instead of killing the fox, we bring in his entire family. And we blame the people. Vatican Council II will aim at the people. It doesn't have to bother to aim at the priests because the priests are already there. When it is completely, officially understood, I didn't get this up, this information is not original with me, I'm merely telling you what you and I both have read. When 70% of our priests no longer believe in the Eucharist, no longer, that means when they don't believe in the Eucharist, when they don't believe in the very function of their priesthood, then what is it that they present to the people? What do they give the people? And if 70% of the priests do not believe in the Eucharist, mathematically speaking, what is the percentage of bishops from which, from whom they, the priests, whatever it is, you know what I'm saying, that they're trying to select the bishops out of the priests, what percentage of those bishops do not believe in the Eucharist? And do we stop there? What percentage of the cardinals who are selected from the percentage of the bishops, who are selected from the percentage of the priests? What percentage of the cardinals do not believe in the Eucharist? And these are the ones that are going to cast their vote. This is not an invention of my thinking. I heard something the other day, and I'm going to quit a little bit earlier today. I don't know. I'm going to try to. That there is a thought in high places, that it might be difficult to settle on the next pope because, you know, we are in a rocking condition, and perhaps we ought to wait a little bit before we cast our votes for the next pope. So therefore, maybe in the meantime, in between, we might just simply place a committee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.